Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, a media day edition of the pod. I am Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you for what is, a new season, because media day has come and gone. Training camp begins today, and that means the season is more or less here. And I'll tell you some of my impressions from media day, and later on in the week, I'll let you hear some exclusive sound, including a chat that I had with Chad Forcier, the brand new lead assistant coach, and I think a very interesting chat that you'll enjoy about his philosophy, why he came to Memphis, what he sees in the team, all of that stuff. That's all coming up later on in the week. So excited to talk with him, and a very interesting conversation that I think you're going to enjoy. As I mentioned, training camp does begin today. In fact, depending on when you listen to this, it is likely that the players will be practicing as you are hearing this, which is pretty cool. Two sessions, morning session, afternoon session. That'll be the case Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. One session on Thursday, and then that's pretty much it for training camp. Open practice on Saturday down at FedEx Forum. You can go and check out the team if you happen to be in Memphis. And then the preseason will be upon us Tuesday, a week from today, in fact, in Birmingham. The Grizzlies will take on the Rockets to start the preseason action. So it is happening very, very quickly. And I'm telling you, it's like, you know, you wait all the off season for the whole thing to be done, all the nonsense, all the craziness, whatever. Okay, finally, when it gets here, bam, it's on. It does not take long for it to escalate. And so that's where we are right now. It was a typical media day. And I honestly don't like to spend a ton of time on the minutiae of media day, because I know there's always some cute stuff and there's always some interesting things, and it's cool meeting some of the new players and getting a chance to talk to them for the first time. But really, as you guys know, coming out of media day, it's almost always the same type of stuff. I don't care whether you go to the Kings media day, Suns media day, Nets media day, Knicks media day, you go up and down the list, teams that suck. It's all positive, it's all happy, it's all great, it's all best case scenario. Well, except Minnesota. Sorry, Wolves. But everywhere else, it's pretty much positive. Sunshine, lollipops, happiness, rainbows, cotton candy. You know, the usual media day stuff. So I don't like to dwell too much on the specifics and specific lengthy sound and all that stuff. I mean, you get the idea. And I'll give you some later on in the week, but I'll try to cherry pick some stuff that's worth your time, because most of the time it's just, you know, hey, I'm looking great, I'm feeling great, you know, you guys know. We'll see. Time will tell. Now, let me give you some of the impressions and some of the things that I ran across at media day. First of all, the most important two guys on the team, Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. From Mike Conley's perspective, physically looks great. No problem. Very calm demeanor from Mike. He's always calm. I mean, Mike is never high energy, high crazy, you know, screaming, yelling, whatever. Mike's pretty mellow dude all the way around, but even more so probably. Just a very contented kind of guy. Got the family, you know, a new kid that he's, you know, been dealing with the last few months. And so, you know, he's got the dad vibe pretty strong. The big thing for Mike is going to be, you know, will his health hold up over the course of this training camp, preseason, and into the season? Because last year, because I talked to him about it, you know, last year he felt good, you know, in media day. Everything was great, even into the first game of the season where he put up 9 of 15 shooting, 27 points against the Pelicans and a season-opening win. Everything was looking great. And then, you know, it wasn't. So with Mike, you have to always take the long view, and you always have to kind of say, okay, well, everything's good now, but what about down the line? You know, how will things go? And you just can't answer that question. And it doesn't matter how much positivity or happiness or what the trainers say or what he says about what he's done or any of that stuff. You have to just sort of set that to the side and let time pass. Everything that all the excitement that you should have, he had. All the excitement, the happiness that you'd want, you got from him. But that has a limited amount of meaning given his history of injury. If the Grizzlies are going to do anything this year, he's got to stay healthy and play for, you know, at least 70 games in order for them to be able to to make any kind of noise at all. In terms of his role, yeah, he was excited, and I talked to him a lot about playing off the ball because of, you know, the amount of ball handlers, you know, notably Kyle Anderson, but others that the Grizzlies have. And he said, you know, that's what he really wants to do. You know, he's good, and obviously he's a point guard, and he'll have a lot of those roles, but he does like to score. He likes to be off the ball. He likes to use, you know, that secondary playmaking. You know, if he's the secondary playmaker, that's a real feather in the cap of the Grizzlies, and he would like to, you know, be able to do that. And he's, you know, the only guy on the team, really, in my mind, that can consistently score 20, 25 points a game. You know, Mark is capable of doing it, but not capable necessarily every game. Mark always has those games where he's kind of just doesn't, you know, really have the bit between his teeth, doesn't really want to be assertive offensively. Mike pretty much all the time is, and he got to the foul line more last year. You know, he's really driving the ball more last year, being an aggressive kind of guy. You know, he can, if he plays the role in the way that, you know, James Harden or Chris Paul play, you know, the role when the other guy is handling the ball, then that's what the Grizzlies kind of need from him, just to be that secondary guy when it comes to ball handling, but a primary guy when it comes to scoring. I think he's excited about that role, and I think he's going to do that. And you'll see the Grizzlies experiment with some different approaches in order to facilitate that. I think he's pretty ready, you know, to do that and to make. I don't know if it's a transition or what, but he's excited about that. So keep an eye on that for Mike going forward. After the break, I'll tell you a little bit more about Mark, about Jaren Jackson, and some of the other things, storylines, notable issues, whatever, from Grizzlies Media Day as you listen here to Locked On Grizzlies. Marc Gasol looked great, best shape of his life. He said that every year, and I think you tend to believe him because he's shown it on the court. Ever since he got healthy after the foot injury and the broken foot and that whole thing, he's really committed himself to trimming up and being, you know, the lifestyle is like on point. The guy is fit as can be. He's, you know, eating unbelievably well, and he's totally changed his lifestyle. And as a result, you know, he's lighter. He's a little more nimble. You know, he's never going to be particularly fast, but to the extent that he can improve that quickness, I think he has. Mentally, he looked very refreshed and ready to go. And, you know, again, said the things that you'd want him to say. You know, was excited about this team's, you know, high IQ. I'm sure you guys saw the quotes I tweeted out there from Mark about that. Excited about the team. I thought it was fascinating that he was the one who set the whole thing up. This mini camp that we've talked about has become kind of a big deal. He was the one who set it up. You know, even though he was in Barcelona and he had just come back from this refugee rescue trip that he was part of, volunteering for the NGO Proactiva Open Arms. You know, he just rescued a Cameroonian woman, or part of a group that did. And, you know, you would think that would be a big thing, and obviously it was. I mean, it had a major impact on him emotionally. But even in the middle of all of that, you know, just days later, he gets back and settles in, and he's immediately thinking, okay, what do I got to do? And he calls Mike Conley to say, Mike, can you call a few of the guys, let's get together in LA and let's do some stuff. Let's spend a few days together and get to know each other. Again, the team cannot have any say in this. This is by rule. The team cannot organize any of this stuff. So this was strictly Mark all the way. And then Mike, when he was deputized to add to it, that's exactly what happened. And those guys go over there. He flies over from Barcelona and everyone meets in LA. They do this whole thing, but it was Mark who did it. It really is a testament to the guy's leadership. And Mark has not always been the best leader. You know, early in his career, he was not very mature on that end, was too petulant, was too in his own head about a lot of this stuff, and couldn't translate to being a leader for the team. And particularly, you know, not vocally and not in his actions. It was too negative. There's a cloud around Mark. You know, that is gone. You know, he spent a lot of time last year after the Fizdale stuff to, you know, get better and to try to lift up guys. Hasn't always worked. He tried with Deontay Davis, but, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I think that's the fair way to say it with Deontay, who has since been cut by the Kings, by the way. He's now Dylan Brooks has gotten a lot of his attention. I think Jaren Jackson is probably going to get a whole bunch of his attention. You know, he's tried to reach out individually to these guys, but also as a team to set up the kind of environment that he wants to have. And what better way to do it than to call this mini camp and to get everyone together and to go out to eat and to have a, you know, kind of a session of learning about each other. Because there's no way this team individually, talent-wise, if you just take strictly the talent and add them up 1 through 15, they're not going to make the playoffs. They have to be greater than that. And the best way to do that is to develop that chemistry. It starts with these sessions in the summer. That's a positive sign if you're a Grizzly fan to see them already working those chemistry things out, trying to find pairs and groups that work well together, trying to find an atmosphere that is going to lift everyone up. That's a big thing, and I know the coaches are excited about it. The front office is excited about it, and it's a good sign that they're going to try to maximize what they've got. So Mark is on board. Chandler Parsons. Now, stop me if you heard this before, but Chandler Parsons is excited on Media Day. I know. I'm as shocked as you are. This was a different kind of Chandler Parsons, though. You'll hear some from him later on in the week, too. Because this is the first time he's actually been cleared in spite of all the stuff that he said. He's always saying the right things. But in spite of what he's actually said, he's never really been cleared. Year one, you know, was everyone was just, you know, kind of feeling the whole thing out and no one knew what was to come with regard to the knee. It was some concern. But at that point, in Media Day 2 years ago, it was only some rumblings of concern. It wasn't full on freak out. Last year was okay. That year pretty much sucked, but maybe there's, you know, he's done yoga and he's done some stretching and he's done some new things and he's just about ready, but he still wasn't full go at training camp. And the Grizzlies were extremely meticulous about his minutes restrictions. Even when he felt like he was good to go last year, they didn't really push him at all. So this year, all the comments are very similar, but the difference is he actually is cleared. You know, he is clear. He's going to be participating in the two-a-days. He's going to be in both sessions. That's the first time, as he put it, first time I've done that in 4 years. That's a pretty strong sign that maybe there is a little more to it this time. As always, with Chandler Parsons, same thing with Mike Conley, there's no reason to make any sort of judgment or assessment at this point. There's nothing that any of us can do to make that assessment because there's no information to go on. You're going on, you know, someone's word or hope or optimism or whatever. At this point, there's no reason to do that. You just have to wait and see. And you hope that the optimism is placed properly. He seems to be optimistic that the work that he did this summer, most notably going to Germany and doing a therapy thing, you know, similar to what Kobe did, is going to help to extend his knee and the life of his knee. It's notable also that he said he's still experiencing some pain. It's not going to be 100%. But with Chandler, you know, that's to be expected. He's never going to be what he was 3 or 4 years ago. He's got to be the best guy that he can be now. And that can still be a valuable player for the Grizzlies. The target I set for him is 1,000 minutes. I think that's reasonable. 50 games, 20 minutes a game, or, you know, set more games, fewer minutes, that kind of thing. But around 1,000 minutes would be ideal for Chandler Parsons. Here's the problem, though. Where is he going to get the minutes? Where is he going to get the minutes? And I'm sure as we see preseason unfold and look at some of the rotations, we'll get a better sense of this. But right now, at least, if you look at the depth chart, Chandler Parsons is a four. That's by his own admission, that's what he is right now. He's definitely not a three, at least not full-time. He's definitely not a five. He's a four. Well, who's it for? Well, right now, you've got JaMychal Green and Jaren Jackson Jr. Those guys are established fours. You could potentially shave some minutes away from JaMychal as the season goes on, depending on how things go. Maybe he gets traded. I don't know. But you're not taking minutes from Jaren Jackson Jr., I wouldn't think, unless Jackson's just horrible. So how many minutes are you going to get between Jermichael and Jaren Jackson? Those guys are going to play 40-plus minutes at the four. So there's not many minutes at the four to be had. Then, on top of that, you know, maybe you play Jaren Jackson behind Marcus Gasol as backup five, and you play Chandler Parsons alongside him. You know, there's a possibility there. So maybe there's a few minutes to be had. But I think, you know, kind of figuring out if there's any minutes at the three at all for him, and can he even play those minutes, and can he be effective defending at the three with the switchability of the three and the two, you know, that all remains to be seen. So I want to see him play and see how effective he can be and to see where his minutes are going to come from. I think he can get 1,000 minutes for sure, if he's healthy. But beyond that, I don't know. I don't know, you know, how it all play out. If he exceeds expectation, and if he's actually able to be, you know, reasonably healthy and reasonably quick and can go, then hey man, maybe you can find more minutes, and maybe he steals some minutes away from Jermichael, or maybe he steals minutes away from, you know, somebody else behind Kyle at the three. I don't know. But for now, you have to make the assumption that those minutes are probably going to be a little bit harder to come by for him. He's going to have to prove it. And I think he's capable of it, but we shall see. In terms of Jaren Jackson, the other guy that really stood out to me at Media Day because of his, I mean, the guy's personality is unbelievable. He's just a kid. He is just a straight up kid in every sense of the word. Just turned 19, was goofing around and joking about how old Mark is, how much older Mark is than him. Mike Conley, same thing. Just being a goofball. But that's, you know, man, you want that kind of personality, and he's got it. He's just a happy, he's always smiling. He's just, you know, he's got a little of that ADD kind of thing going with kids. He's looking at the phone all the time. He's checking the social media, you know, constantly. That's kind of what you notice with a lot of players of his age. But hey, man, look, he's a really fun guy to talk to, and I think that's a contagious kind of thing in the locker room. And the other thing is that he's got a really strong competitive spirit, and he's a professional dude in spite of the goofy nature of it. You know, with his dad being so, I mean, such an NBA veteran, played for years and years, he's been around, you know, that kind of thing. It's like Mike Conley. It's very similar to Mike Conley. You know, both came into the league at 19, both came from Big Ten school, both grew up in Indianapolis, both have dads who are great athletes. I mean, very similar stories, different positions, but similar stories. And they have some of the same qualities of professional approach and understanding what it's like to be a pro play in the game. That always helps you going forward. Now, Jaren will have to clean up his diet a little bit, like a lot of young guys do. You can get away with it when you're 19, but not so much, you know, when you get into your mid late 20s and on beyond that. You can ask Marcus Hall about all of that. But for now, that's it. I mean, everything else, he's full of excitement. Mike Conley talked a lot about how, you know, Jaren, when they played pickup, would block his shots repeatedly on the perimeter, no less, could guard him in space. Jaren said he thinks he can guard Mike Conley sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And if he can guard Mike, that's a strong step. Mike's pretty quick on the perimeter. If you can guard Mike, you can guard most guys. We'll see if he actually is true in a game situation. Can he guard on the perimeter? Because I think there's really not much else to question about his defensive prowess. And, you know, Chandler Parsons talked a lot about how he's just got great instincts. And that is what you see when you watch Jaren Jackson. You watched him in summer league, and definitely you watched him in college. The instincts are just there. Like, he just knows where to go, and the players pick up on that. You know, that helps you to get those extra minutes. Players like to play with guys who just know how to play. He's one of those guys. You know, if you can guard on the perimeter on the switch, that's a big bonus on top of everything else, because that was the one area at summer league where you were a little concerned, because he got blown by a few times. He'll get blown by more in the NBA. I mean, that'll happen. But if you can more or less defend your position and then defend in the perimeter on switches, on smalls, then the sky's the limit for the guy. And, you know, guys who can defend will play minutes, and particularly for this team, because defense is such a priority for them. If you can defend, you will play. And I think he can defend, so I think he's definitely going to play. Whether he starts, you know, that will all come along soon enough. I don't think it'll matter too much right out of the gate, as I said earlier, but he's a big-time player. Some of the other notes from Media Day. I thought that Yuta Watanabe, what a fascinating scene this is going to be. I mean, this guy, he's not healthy. He's a little bit hurt, banged up, so he hasn't been able to participate in all the activities the guys were doing to kind of lead up to the season. But he's a phenomenon in terms of the media presence. There were 10 Japanese reporters there, a couple of the Chinese reporters that are always following the team as well. On top of that, I think one or two other Chinese reporters potentially. There are several Japanese reporters, but he's big, 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 big. I did an interview with one of the outlets. I don't honestly know what it was, which outlet it was, but I was interviewed by them about the Yuta Watanabe phenomenon, such as it is. I mean, if they're interviewing just random dudes like me, I can't even imagine. They're following this guy around, everything he does. He's a two-way player. I mean, he's going to play some for the Grizzlies, but not a ton, I wouldn't think. But I can't imagine what it's like if that's what they're doing now. Think about if he's actually going to be a player and a regular. There will be, I was told by some of the Japanese media that it would be 30 or more on a regular basis that would cover Yuta Watanabe just playing limited role in the NBA. Just, it's nuts. Absolutely nuts. So the fact that they were so heavily there, and I assume that they'll be a lot at Hustle games down in South Haven. It's crazy. It's crazy. Ivan Rabb is in concussion protocol, so we'll see how much of training camp he can be a part of. He was not there yesterday at Media Day. Javon Carter looked great and is a full go, which is a little ahead of schedule for him after the ligament tear in his thumb. So that's great news, and the fact that he can jump right in and get full camp is going to be really helpful to his ability to jump in and start and play. So that was nice, and his attitude was great. He looked really positive and happy. And so, again, like everybody else, we'll see how things go when you actually start playing, and that's going on. Likely as you listen to this, they are in training camp as we speak down at FedEx Forum. So lots more to get to throughout the week. We'll continue to do that here on Locked On Grizzlies. Thank you, as always, for being a part of the show. If you want to get in touch with me, you can. I'm at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. You can read my stuff in the Commercial Appeal. You can listen to me on Sports 56, WHBQ, and 87.7 FM here in Memphis or online at sports56whbq.com. You can email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Love to hear from all of you. Thank you for listening. Have yourself a great, great day.